Matthew chapter 6 in your Bibles as a starting point, and we're going to continue and finish our lesson on timeless truths concerning technology. Aren't you thankful for the Bible? And I am. I'm thankful for the fact that even a book that was written over 2,000 years ago has practical truths that we can apply in every area of our life. The Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That covers all the bases. And it's amazing to me how the wisdom of God from years ago can give us the wisdom that we need today for various things that are coming out new and fresh in our lives. And so I think it's good for us to take the Word of God and filter everything that interacts in our life with it to make sure that we're using in a way that is pleasing and honoring to the Lord, and that's good for us and for our families. You know, this morning I was thinking about this. God wants us to be balanced Christians. You know, you have some Christians out there that are like, you know, technology is evil. Don't you know that the Antichrist is going to use it, you know, in the last days, and Bill Gates is going to be putting chips in people's heads and their foreheads, and you hear all this stuff going on, and conspiracy theories and whatnot. Look, I realize that technology probably will be used in the end times. We don't know that for sure, but you certainly could see how that might be the case. But I also know that technology can be used for good. And, you know, if it wasn't for technology, we wouldn't have been able to continue streaming our services during this time. And our teachers wouldn't have been able to continue teaching and doing the virtual classrooms. And so, you know, I am thankful for those things. On the other hand, I think, so on the one extreme, you've got people that are like, you know, technology is evil. On the other hand, I think you've got the extreme where people are just taking this stuff into their lives with no checks and no balances. They're handing devices that have full access to the internet and the web to their kids and letting them go behind private closed doors in their rooms and wherever. And they've got access to everything that the web has to offer. I think that's another extreme that as Christians we want to avoid. We want to be balanced Christians, balanced on the principles and truths that the Word of God gives us. And so we're looking at these areas of timeless truths concerning technology. We saw, just as a manner of review, we saw some last week. Maybe some of you weren't able to join us, but just as a review, we saw number one, beware of prideful status. You know, with all the social networking and my story and my page and my Twitter, my tweet, we have to be careful that we don't put an emphasis on ourselves, an overemphasis on ourselves. And God wants us to be humble. God wants us to lift other people up and encourage other people and praise other people. And God wants us, of course, to lift him up. And pride goeth before destruction. Haughty spirit goeth before a fall. That's still true when we get on social media and post the things that we post. Then we saw beware of easy temptations. Of course, with technology, it's opened up access to a lot of things, a lot of good things. It's amazing the things that, you know, yesterday, just looking up weather, you know, it used to be you had to turn the radio on and listen to the guy tell you. You'd wait for traffic and weather on the 8s with WTOP or whatever, and you're waiting to hear what the weather is, or maybe you had to, you know, watch it on news at night. I remember that as a kid. Now you just grab your phone, and it'll tell you where the lightning's striking. I mean, it's amazing, and what a blessing. But, you know, along with those blessings come the curses. And the easy access to pornographic material and the easy access to, you know, philosophies that are dangerous. You know, YouTube videos where people talk about whatever they want to talk about. And they can express their opinions, good or bad. Also, you know, communication between friends. And that was the third point that we saw last week. Beware of evil communications. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 says, be not deceived. God says, you can be, if you're not careful, well, you're going to miss this. He says, don't be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And I don't know why it is, but when we get on phones and we get on computers and different devices, sometimes we drop our guard in terms of the things that we say or the things that we communicate with other people or allow to be communicated to us. I can remember as a teenager, you know, it wasn't much internet that was out, but it had just come out more or less or made available, and you had the chat rooms, AOL chat room. I remember Got Mail, you know, you got the Got Mail noise that would come up. And I can remember getting on those chat rooms, and all of a sudden, I remember the conversation turning in a direction it shouldn't turn. You know, and I had a choice, just like you have a choice when you're standing there with a group of people at work or wherever it might be, to stand there and participate in the conversation or to get away from that conversation, not be a part of that. Hey, listen, it's no different It's just that we've got to be more careful as all this stuff is more accessible to us now. Maybe we think nobody's watching. Maybe we think that nobody's aware of what we're writing or what we're saying. Our parents maybe don't see everything. We've got to make sure that we're accountable for one, but that also we remember that God sees me and everything that I do. And then we saw beware of stolen time at the end of the lesson last week, Ephesians 5:16. Boy, if this verse doesn't pop out to me and it's truth today, I don't know what does. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. And boy, you just have to turn your TV on or your internet on, and you're going to see that is absolutely true today. Well, let's continue with where we're at. We're in Matthew chapter 6. And I want to look at verse 20 of Matthew chapter 6. Our next point is beware of misplaced treasure. Beware of misplaced treasure. You know, technology has become very important to a lot of us. And I'm as guilty about this as anybody. You know, today is my birthday. And so if you looked at my birthday list, I have to admit this morning that every single item on that birthday list had some sort of technology attached to it. And my wife can attest, I enjoy technology. I like the as seen on TV things that you can, you know, all the techie little gadgets and whatnot. I'm a sucker for those things, and I like those things. But you know what? I have to be careful how much I allow my heart to get attached to certain things, to get excited about certain things. And I'm not saying it's not bad to get excited, but what level of excitement's in my, how much am I excited about the things of the Lord versus technology that comes out? And how much time and interest do I spend in technology versus spiritual things in my life? You know, the Bible says with regard to exercise, bodily exercise profiteth little. It's not saying there's no profit there, but in comparison to spiritual things and to godliness, it's profitable unto all things. And I think in every area of our life, we have to remember that while there are things that aren't necessarily bad, there's profit there, that in comparison to spiritual things, the profit is little, and we need to focus our lives on spiritual things. And so we see here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. And I think we could say right here, and where hard drives do not crash, where cell phones do not break when dropped on concrete or in water or run over by a mower. I won't talk about any families in our church that have run over their phones with a mower or fallen in a pool with the phone on their hip or put their phone in a washer. I won't mention any names. I will say that they're generally Cowboy fans, and they tend to have last names that start with P and end with N. But I'm not going to say who that is. Hey, listen, all of us have misplaced our phone and all of a sudden gotten that fear in our hearts. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Where's my phone at? And, you know, you're looking for your phone. I remember it was a couple years ago, I was driving down to the Bill Rice Ranch with the teens. And, you know, you're driving there in the bus, and you're driving through the night and different things to get back from camp. And I had my phone just sitting right there on my hip. And next to where I was driving, there was a trash can that they'd placed there so the teens could throw their trash or whatnot away. And I didn't realize it, but at some point, that phone had fallen off my hip into that trash can. Well, the youth pastor usually has jobs for the teens to do when they get at a gas stop. They'll go out and help, you know, with the gas or help throw trash away or whatnot. And the teens, doing the good job they were doing, took that trash can and went and threw it away. And it was maybe, I don't know, an hour or so down the road, I realized, wait a second, where's my cell phone? You know, and for me, my cell phone has everything on it, you know, and so the panic just begins in my heart. Well, you know, if you've got an Apple device, you know all about Find My Phone. And so, honey, look up Find My Phone. I think I had to call her with someone else's phone. She's at home. She's trying to locate where it is, and she sees it. It's at that gas stop. But as we're talking, she sees it starting to walk across the parking lot. I'm thinking, oh no, who's got my phone, you know? And so somehow she was able to get in touch with the gas station, and they were able to hold on to the phone, and we made a trip to get that phone back. It was crazy. But I know what it's like when you lose your phone or, you know, think you're going to lose all those contacts or all those photos or all that information. But you know what? The Bible says it's better to lay up your treasures in heaven, where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Listen, if your heart's inclination was determined purely by what you spend your money on, I want to ask you a question this morning. Where would your heart be found? That's a pretty good question. And I got to say, I'm guilty of this as well. And I love techie stuff. I could go broke, you know, buying techie stuff. That's the truth. But I have to be careful. And just some things here, some principles from the scripture this morning. Hey, be careful of spending on things that you can't afford. Be careful of spending on, 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And I know what it's like. You know, the newest thing comes out. And you're like, oh, I've got to have that. And whatever new, you know, feature it has on it. And you're just salivating as you hear all the new specs about that device or whatever. But you know what? You have to stop and say, Lord, do you want me to buy that? Is that something that I can afford to buy? And I got to tell you, there's, I think, even a lot of Christians that have gotten themselves in financial troubles buying things that we can't afford. And of course, that's going to hinder us from being a blessing when it comes to missions and other areas. But I think another thing is buying what we don't need. Yeah, maybe you can afford it, but maybe you don't need it. And I think that's another valid question to ask yourself. Do I need this? You know, one of the things on my birthday list, TV prices, I don't know if you have noticed, have come down. It's amazing. I've been waiting for years. My wife can tell you, I've been waiting for years to buy a TV. Every time my birthday rolls around and I get birthday, I say, oh, I'm just going to save it. I'm going to get a TV at some point, a new TV. And so for years, I've been saving money toward a TV. And finally, I broke down this year and I went and bought a TV. And but you know, I look at those things, I say, well, do I really need that? And you know, as I was looking at TVs, you can spend a lot of money still on TVs, trying to get the high, you know, the most, the best thing that's come out on those TVs, OLED technology, or, you know, I want to get I'm not satisfied with the 75-inch one. I want the 85-inch one. And who knows where in the world what room we could stick that in, if it can even fit between the walls. But I've got to have that 85-inch, as if the 75-inch wouldn't be good enough, right? Hey, I'm guilty. I understand that. But I think as Christians, to make sure that we're balanced in life, to take these things, Lord, say, Lord, is this really something I need? Is this really something I have to have? You know, in Acts 2 and verse 45, the Bible says that they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And, you know, I'm thankful we're not in a situation like they were in the New Testament, where they were under such persecution that they couldn't get jobs easily and they weren't able to really help themselves in making a living. And so they had to have all things together in common. The Bible says, aren't you thankful we're not in a situation like that? I realize the economy's not doing well, although things are turning back. And we're praying that things can turn around. But you know what? Sometimes when we aren't focused on the fact that maybe I don't need that thing so much, maybe it would hinder us from helping other people who have needs and being a blessing and providing, giving to others who could use some help in life. And so, and then I think, you know, robbing, of course, what the Lord should have is a whole other thing. And the Lord expects us, Malachi 3, verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And of course, we don't ever want to take what the Lord deserves and put it towards something that we want. And so beware of misplaced treasure. What is your heart excited about in life? Hey, listen, let me tell you something this morning. If your heart is not most excited about spiritual things, then I think we need to get down on our knees and say, God, help me. God, help me to have tears for souls. And Lord, help me to get excited when souls are win. Lord, help me to get excited about spiritual things. What's exciting to you, Lord? Help me not to get so enthralled in these things that are eventually going to rust. They're going to break. They're going to become old technology. I'm getting ready to move. And I'm sure as we get into our container and start pulling out all these things, I'm going to be pulling out technological things that at one point were great and expensive and helpful. And now I'm going to look at it and say, eh, right? Hey, not the things that we lay up in heaven. You're never going to take the crown that Jesus Christ gives you and say, oh, that's not worth anything anymore. No, it's eternal. And it's going to have eternal value, the rewards that we lay up in heaven. So let's focus on those things. And then notice number 6, beware of faulty faith. Now, if we're not careful, we put trust in things. We put confidence in things that we ought not to. You know, sometimes I've heard this in the past, you know, with regard to churches. Well, if we only had projection screens in church, you know, we could put the outlines and the songs on. And I'll never forget, I was down in Georgia and we were on vacation and we went into this one church. And I noticed, of course, you know, pastor's very much about starting on time. And I love that. I appreciate that. I remember him telling me one time, if we waste you know, we start 1 minute late, we just wasted 1 minute times all the people that are in our church. And that's a lot of time. I appreciate that attitude. And it's been helpful for me to learn that as well and that discipline. But I remember sitting there and you know, if a church doesn't start on time, as the guy who's supposed to start church, I start getting antsy, you know. And I'm like, should I go up and start it? I don't know. But it had gone 15 minutes past starting time. And I'm just looking at my wife, wow, this is different. You know, and all of a sudden, I see this cart being rolled forward, and it had a laptop and a projector on it, and the guy's rolling it up to, and then about four or five guys come over, and they're grabbing this thing and trying to get it up on the stage, and they finally flip it on, they're trying to get things working, and finally, all of a sudden, the announcement comes up on there. They've been working on getting the announcements ready and the music ready for that service, and I thought, wait a second, these things are supposed to enhance the service, not detract from it. But, you know, sometimes we think, oh, but if I had a projector, then our church will grow. And we say, well, if I had kiosks out in the lobby, and if we had a better website, you know, hey, if we had our own app, you know, then our church would grow. Now listen, we're actually working on all of those different things, not against those things. But I want you to understand this morning, the power of God is not found in a projector. The power of God this morning is not found in a great website. God's power is not located in you being able to access a church app. God's power is found in us having hearts that are clean and hands that are clean before the Lord. God's power this morning is focused and concentrated in how we submit ourselves daily and moment by moment to the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. That's where the power of God comes from. But, you know, sometimes we start to think that other things will provide success in life or power. Hey, listen to Psalm 20 and verse 7. Some trust in chariots. We might say our cars. And some in horses. Whatever was the leading thing for that day, you can name whatever it is today, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Hey, may that be our heart's attitude. That our focus and our trust, no matter what new thing comes out, no matter what new philosophy might come out, that our focus and trust is in the Lord and in His Word. Because that's where the power of God comes from. Isaiah 31 and verse 1 says, woe to them that go down to Egypt. Interesting, Egypt is a picture of the world in the scriptures. And he says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. You know, sometimes we turn to other things and other people for help rather than stopping and turning to the one who can really help in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we put our faith in faulty things. Goes on to say, and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but they look not into the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Boy, I hope that's not true in our life. I want to remind you this morning, Romans 1:16 is still true. And it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now listen, if we can use technology to share the gospel, praise the Lord, and let's do it. But it's just as powerful when you stand in front of someone without technology and you share with them your personal testimony of what Jesus Christ has done in your life and how he saved you. Listen, the power of God is there. Is just as much there as if you were to do that and through some sort of media device. Beware of faulty faith. Let me notice the next point this morning. Beware of setting stumbling blocks. Beware of setting stumbling blocks. You can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 if you would this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and we're going to see verses 8 through 9. You know, we bring some tech into our house thinking that we have the discipline to handle it. It doesn't mean, though, that everyone can handle it. And parents, I want you to think about this. You know, there's certain things you would not hand to a child to use. I've been working recently helping build my house, and there's certain tools that I wouldn't just hand to a young person. Hey, try this out. Hey, go have fun with this. I wouldn't just hand a Sawzall over to some kid. You know, I remember one time, one of my kids, we were out working in the garden, and I thought he was old enough to handle a certain tool. And so we were doing some hedge trimming, and thank the Lord nothing serious happened, but as he was using the hedge trimmer, it sort of turned off, and it was starting to slow down, but he reached his finger over before it had turned off, and it clipped his finger. He got a good cut in his finger. We had to take him to the emergency room, get him sewn up. And you know, what's the principle here? That there are tools that maybe aren't bad, but there's a power to them that we have to realize sometimes young people aren't ready for that or can't handle that or aren't able to have the wisdom to use it with a certain amount of discernment about them. And I think this is true when it comes to technology as well. You see, parents, what we do in moderation, oftentimes our children will do in excess. So while you may use your cell phone to a certain extent, and it may be a balanced use of time, we can't always expect that our children are going to have the wisdom to do that. And so the things that we brought into our lives that we've learned with maturity, how to handle those things, I hope, we give those things to our kids and forget that they may not have the wisdom to use them in the same way. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, you can hold your place there in 1 Corinthians 8. We'll be there in just a second. But you know, in Deuteronomy chapter 7 in verses 1 through 5, we read about some kings. And we read about their kids. And it's interesting how each generation seemed to get worse with what was going on in their lives. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 7 verses 1 through 5. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them, thy daughter. Thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. So God gives a command to them when they went into the land that they weren't supposed to intermarry with these other nations. They weren't supposed to take any of their gods, but all of a sudden we see this process begin. And one king would take on maybe he would allow certain groves to still be in existence where they would worship these gods. He wouldn't necessarily go there and worship them. We don't have time to look at all that. I got a whole bunch of passages written down about these kings this morning. But he wouldn't necessarily go and worship there himself, but he allowed those groves to stay there. Well, then we see his son. And his son didn't just allow the groves to stay there, but now he married someone who he wasn't supposed to marry, and then he goes with his wife, and he goes and he actually worships those gods. Now, maybe he still worshiped the God of Israel, but he was also adding in worshiping the God of Dagon or whatever the God might be. And we see this progressive, it's like each king gets worse and worse. And you'll see a statement say, this king, there was no king worse than him before him. And then he'll die and his son will become king and he'll make the same statement about his son. Listen, if we're not careful, we don't hold a standard in our lives. If we don't draw a line for our families and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is where we're going to stand as a family and we're not going any further. If we don't do that as parents, then we got to realize our kids will take the things that we do in moderation to excess in their lives. And a lot of times those things can become damaging habits that they might have, damaging effects that take place in their lives. You're in 1 Corinthians 8. Notice what it says in verses 8 through 9. It doesn't have to be evil things. It can just be things that can cause a stumbling block in other people's lives. It says, but meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. So Paul's talking about the whole issue of eating meat. He's saying it's not wrong to eat meat. But he's saying even though this is a Christian liberty for you, it can become a stumbling block for somebody else. And we have to realize that even though something might not be wrong in our household, as parents, we have to use the wisdom to make sure that that thing would not become a stumbling block. You know, and I think it's being aware of each kid. You know, every kid's different. And being aware of what might be more of an issue for one kid versus an issue for another kid. And we have to ask God, Lord, give me wisdom as to how I train my kids and what things I allow, what influences I allow into their lives. I can think of one of our kids. He would get really excited about certain comic characters. And I remember how he would really get into it. You know what? I had to pull him back from some of those things to make sure that his heart wouldn't get attached to those things. And it wasn't like I was allowing him to see anything that was evil, per se. It was just that his heart was getting really into that. And so, you know, you always have to be aware as a parent, watching what things are influencing and what things are grabbing the heart of our children. Just because I can do something doesn't mean that I should do it. The Bible tells us in Romans 14, 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And we want to be careful that we're not causing other people, putting things in their path, allowing them as parents to have things that would cause them to stumble spiritually. Notice, if you would, number 8, beware of dangerous side effects. Beware of dangerous side effects. Hey, you know, there are side effects to using these devices. Maybe you felt that recently. I have. You know, with all the virtual learning and working from home, and my neck is killing me, you know, from having your neck tilted as you're looking down at a device. And you know, more and more studies are coming out showing us the effects of, you know, looking at a screen for too long during a day and whatnot. Well, listen, the Bible tells us that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? I'll never forget the commercial that they had. It was, I believe it was AT&T, and it was of a girl who was texting as she was driving, and the last thing she texted was something like, yeah, and then she had an accident and she was killed, and they actually had the family on there giving a testimony about this and not texting while you drive. You know, it's that easy. You know, you can look away from what you're doing there on the road, and whether it's changing the channel on your radio or CD player, or whether it's grabbing your device or texting on it. Obviously, these things can be really dangerous. It could be overusing these things to where you don't get the sleep that you ought to get. It's amazing. I hear teachers talk about the kids coming in so tired. And boy, they just aren't ready to learn. And it's a real hindrance to them being able to learn the things that they need to learn. You know, as teachers, the teachers feel bad. I mean, it's sad to see a kid there struggling to stay awake. But yet, you know, kids that are staying up late to play on video games, and kids that are staying up late to watch TV and movies, and kids that are on their devices late, and parents that are on their devices late. Listen, this hinders us from getting what God intended us to get, and that's rest. And let me tell you, I'm one who can testify the fact your body will break down if you don't rest. It's part of the thing that I have to deal with the tumor. I have to get a certain amount of rest. And while I'd love to keep running and go strong and work and work, 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 sometimes I just have to stop. And I've got to get the rest that I need to get. And by the way, that's how God made all of us. And so we have to be aware of how technology can prevent us from getting. What about exercise? You know, I've heard the COVID-19 meaning something different than just the virus. You know, did you get COVID-19? And they're talking about the 19 pounds you got staying home and not getting any exercise. You know what? Devices can do that as well. And you can become a tech couch potato. And overuse of anything, folks, is usually not good in our lives. Overuse of things in our life leads to something that's bad. And so we have to have discipline and watch this. And as parents, we have to be aware of how these things are affecting our children and our own lives. And then notice number 9, beware of cold correspondence. Boy, this is an important point. And I hope you get this morning. Turn to John chapter 13, if you would. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and let's look at verse 35. I hope we realize that we've had to do things we've had to do to keep things running, but it's not necessarily the ideal thing. And John chapter 13 says this in verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You know, one thing I've learned through the coronavirus situation is that there's only so much love that you can communicate through technology. Fellowship is just not the same as sending a Facebook message to somebody or sending a text. It's just not the same as being in person with that person and enjoying the fellowship that you can enjoy with that person. And I hope we'll remember that. I hope this has actually maybe taught us the importance of coming together as a church and the fellowship that we enjoy. That's what God designed. That's what, and Lord willing, this is going to open up soon, and we're all going to be able to enjoy that again freely. One of our fears, I think, as pastors is how this coronavirus is going to change people. I heard someone say that we should never go back to handshaking. I'm not trying to get into any controversial discussions, but listen, the Bible tells us that we're to greet one another with a kiss of charity. I remember when I was a Spanish pastor, I had a guy who literally got upset at me. He said, "Now, why don't the English church, why do they handshake? Why don't they greet with a kiss?" And I said, "Well, that's a cultural thing, but they still, a handshake is our warm way of showing kindness and affection toward each other." Listen, I'm all for going back to handshaking. I miss handshaking time in church. I don't like having to come into church and, you know, okay, I got to sit here and I got to stick 6 feet away from people and I got to have a mask on, I got to have gloves, and I can't fellowship the way that as a Christian I want to and show charity and love and kindness. And listen, I hope when all this goes away, we get back to showing the warmth that we ought to at Temple Baptist Church. And yeah, let's do our best right now through cards. I got a card from someone this week, just out of the blue. And it was so encouraging, just an encouraging card from one of our church members. And I'm so thankful for that. We can do things now. It's not like we can't. But listen, when things get back to normal, hey, let's give that warm handshake. And go wash your hand afterwards. But let's give that warm handshake. And let's enjoy, let's be at church. Let's not rely on live stream, you know. I know you might enjoy being in your pajamas this morning, but listen, it's a lot better, I think, to come to church and be under the sound of the Word of God and to be able to fellowship with other Christians and believers. That's how God designed the church to be. But you know, if we're not careful, technology can leave our communication of love in a cold state. I appreciate Pastor. You know, Pastor's always taught us as a staff, don't just send, you know, important messages, don't just send it through an email. Don't just send it through a text. Go and talk to that person. Why? Because, you know, there's certain things that just aren't, and maybe you've experienced this, there's certain attitudes and feelings that just aren't communicated through a text. I know teachers have probably had this, and dealing back and forth with parents and having to text back and forth, it's just a different thing to text someone. It's hard to communicate exactly what you're feeling and how you're feeling through technology, and it can leave it feeling very cold. It can lead to a cold relationship. I remember, when I was away from Benita before we got married, it was a whole summer that I was traveling, and it was difficult, you know. And back then, we had cell phones, but they didn't work. You know, I mean, they worked in like the big cities, but everywhere else you traveled, it's like, oh, no signal, oh, no signal, you know. And we traveled out west, and it was even worse out there. And I remember how difficult it was to maintain a relationship with a person I was getting ready to marry through technology. Listen, the Lord wants us to show in person, I believe, that kindness and that love and that charity. 1 Peter 5:14, greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Exodus 33 and verse 11, I think God put a priority, he put a premium on the communication face to face. Listen to what it says here in Exodus 33 and verse 11. The Lord spake unto Moses, text to text? No. From computer to computer? From cell phone to cell phone? No. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Let's not forget there's a premium in that. And as things lift and we have more and more liberties, let's get back to having church like God intended us to have church. Visiting someone in a hospital instead of just texting them. Visiting a church visitor at their house. I can't tell you how many times I've had people just, you know, you say, well, I'll go knock on doors. I'm afraid people reject me. I've had people that say, wow, this is unique. I never have anybody from a church come knock on my door anymore. And I think we have a great opportunity as a church to show that love and kindness, that warmth. Coming to church rather than watching on live stream. Let's get away from those things as the Lord gives us opportunity. And then number 10, beware of worldly entanglements. As we close this morning, Hebrews 12 and verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And I just want to mention this, you know, you can get into certain things at a surface level and then realize once you dig a little bit deeper in those things that even though it was clean at the surface level, it's filthy down below. I think movies can be this way. And I'm just sharing this from the heart of a dad to other parents here this morning. You know, you want your kids to be able to have fun. You want them to, I enjoy a good, fun movie. We use filters. We already talked about that. And you watch a movie and it's fun and it's interesting. But, you know, then someone gets into reading a book about it. And you find out in that book there's curse words and there's filthy philosophies and ideas and things. And listen, the old devil is a trickster, and we shouldn't be, we need to be aware of his devices. And he'll take something that's clean on the surface, and then as you get more into that thing and you dig a little bit deeper, it's full of filth and spiritual filth that we shouldn't have in our lives. You know, technology can aid in that if we're not careful. And 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4 says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier." The idea of entangling is something that wraps you up. I've been working out on my property recently, and there's all these thorn bushes that I've been having to work in. And you get in those things, and I mean, eventually you just get wrapped up. Well, you know what? It can be that way with technology and other things in our life. Be careful not to get so deep into something to where you get so wrapped up in it that you can't let that thing go. Don't get entangled to where you can't run the race that Jesus Christ wants you to run, leaving weights. Weights don't necessarily, we don't have time to talk about this, talk about bad things. But they're things that prevent us from running how God wants us to run. Can technology become a weight in our life? It sure can. Hey, technology can be a great blessing. It can be a great curse. Let's take these timeless truths from the Word of God, these principles, apply them in our hearts and lives as we add these things that are new to our lives. Let's pray and we'll get ready for our main service. Father, thank you so much for the wisdom that you give us in your word. Thank you that you've left us here with guidance and instruction. We don't have to sit around wondering how to use and how to interact and deal with these things in our life. Lord, we can take the wisdom of your word, apply it, and be able to run the race that you want us to run and hear one day those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, help us to do the work and have the discipline to understand how these things should be used for our family's sake, for our own sake, and most importantly, Lord, for your sake. In Jesus' name, amen.